You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Public health officials hope most people will want the COVID-19 vaccine, but they know some won't, and that may determine whether the pandemic ends. Shemaine Mills has more.
As the state begins to roll out a public education campaign to get more people vaccinated against COVID-19, it's approaching a turning point in the pandemic where vaccine supply could soon outstrip demand. Until now, Wisconsin's had just the opposite problem. Demand has been high, however, supply was sometimes uncertain, and health officials repeatedly urged people who wanted a shot to be patient. State health officials have pegged July 4th as the time when 80% of Wisconsinites could be vaccinated if the state's vaccine supply from the federal government remains steady and people remain eager to be vaccinated. The first to get immunized are what Department of Health Services Deputy Secretary Julie Willems-Van Dyke calls early adopters. So far, just over 20% of people in the state are fully vaccinated.
I think it's going to be a little bit harder once we get over 50 to 60%. And we may need to encourage a lot of people to get vaccines, so it may take a little bit more time.
Where they live may play a role in how receptive people are to that message. In January, polling from the Kaiser Family Foundation found that rural Americans were most likely to be hesitant to get vaccinated. Amanda Marsh lives in rural Brown County on 10 acres with her husband and their 5 children. The backyard is near a wetland, which is busy with blackbirds and geese this time of year. While she's not ruling out a change of heart, the 39-year-old Marsh said no one in the family plans on getting vaccinated against COVID-19.
I don't know that taking something that does not have long-term studies on it is the right decision for me. I honestly would probably have a lot of anxiety if I was to take it.
Health experts say the vast majority of side effects that happen with any vaccine occur in the first 3 months, and there's no reason to believe these vaccines are going to be any different. The vaccines have been tested on tens of thousands of people in clinical trials. Millions have been inoculated, and complications have been rare, says Dr. Pat Remington, a UW-Madison professor who used to work for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Well, it's understandable that people are concerned about long-term health effects of the vaccine because it hasn't been around a long time. But if there were considerable risks down the road, we would already be seeing those.
State and national efforts to encourage people to get vaccinated will include sports figures, clergy, and word of mouth, focusing on both rural and urban areas. On Monday, the Brewers announced players were vaccinated over the weekend. And Ben Weston, Director of Medical Services for Milwaukee County, says everyday people can be part of the effort too.
And after you've received your vaccine, be the ambassadors to your community. Reach out to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family. Let them know why you chose to be vaccinated.
Amanda Marsh doesn't think she'll be convinced. She has relatives who work as nurses and says some have gotten the vaccine, others have not. Same goes for her friends. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has advised everyone to get vaccinated as soon as they're eligible. Medical professionals say this is the way to not only protect yourself, but others. How that message is presented is key. Marsh wants people to be educated, not shamed.
I think implying that people don't care if they don't get vaccinated about everybody else is just blows my mind, because that is not where I stand. And I want nothing bad to happen to you. I just have to do what's best for me.
But medical experts say the odds are against those who choose not to get vaccinated for COVID-19, a disease where the risk of death and long-term medical complications exceeds what might happen if someone gets a vaccine designed to prevent that. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now we check in on passenger rail service between Chicago and St. Paul via Milwaukee's Intermodal Station, the TCMC Project. It stands for Twin Cities Milwaukee Chicago Intercity Passenger Rail Project. It adds a second daily round-trip train service on Amtrak's Empire Builder route. This is a 411-mile corridor. Have you taken a trip on the Empire Builder? What can you share about the experience? Would you support more passenger train travel in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. Arun Rao is passenger rail manager at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Arun, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks very much, Kate. It's great to be here.
Well, let's look at this Chicago Twin Cities corridor. What is the need for a second trip? What do you see on ridership?
Yeah, so Amtrak's Empire Builder, which travels once daily between Chicago, Milwaukee, La Crosse, St. Paul, and then on to Seattle and Portland, has had strong ridership within that Chicago to Twin Cities segment of the corridor through Wisconsin. Often coach seats sell out and there's limited capacity to meet demand. And people are trying to use that service for regional travel as opposed to long distance trips to, you know, Seattle, Portland. 70% of people getting on and off at Wisconsin stations are traveling to destinations within the Twin Cities to Chicago segment of the Empire Builder. So demonstrating some demand for regional trips there. And the single round trip really limits the viability for many regional trips. For example, you can't make a one overnight trip to the Twin Cities for a business meeting. And with the additional schedule, you'll be able to do that.
Oh, also, coming back the same day, this will make it possible to come back the same day.
One overnight trip, not the same day, but
okay,
one overnight.
One overnight. Yeah, yeah. What else do you see? Because this is, you know, a corridor with a number of smaller cities, regional cities.
Yes. And so it's especially important for those communities, for smaller urban communities and rural communities, in terms of the economic impact from that. It really is really on several levels, where it enables them to leverage the rail service better to attract and retain businesses and jobs in their communities. Also brings people into those communities who are using the station, coming in from surrounding areas and going into local businesses. But it really strengthens the connection between those communities and the economic epicenters of the region of Twin Cities, Chicago, and Milwaukee. And that's a really you know, powerful thing for the smaller urban and rural communities along the route.
Yeah. So with more service comes construction. What is required for this second line?
Yeah. So the additional trip will use existing track, but adding two additional passenger trains on what's essentially a single track railroad with sidings takes up capacity between Milwaukee and Minnesota. So there are some railroad track improvements needed. One project is in Wisconsin, and that's in La Crosse. And then there are four in Minnesota. And these are what a federal grant that Wisconsin DOT has received will help get constructed.
Yeah, so, you know, let's talk funding here for a moment. This project is funded largely through the Federal Railroad Administration grant, and Amtrak has put in money. What must Wisconsin and Minnesota kick in on this project?
Sure. So the it's a Federal Railroad Administration grant for about $32 million, and that's for the improvements in both Wisconsin and Minnesota. And Wisconsin's match is about $6.3 million, and Minnesota's match is $10 million. Amtrak is putting in $5 million of that.
And so what is the total cost of this project?
It's $53
million. $53 million. Where are you at in the timeline of adding this service?
Well, we are we have the federal funding needed for the track improvements. We need to secure we're securing the state matches, we also have federal funding to offset the first 3 years of operating support that would be needed, which greatly reduces the burden on the states to fund that during the startup period. And then we are complete with preliminary designs for those improvements and service, and operating plans are complete. Environmental documentation is just about complete and should be wrapped up in about a month or a month and a half here. And then we'll be ready to execute grant agreements, agreements partnering with the other states, and go into final design and construction pending the securing of the funding.
Okay, and so construction might be out a couple years or so?
Yeah, we're looking at, you know, if all goes well, with securing the funding, a 2022 final design and then 2023 and 2024 construction, with service starting in late 2024.
In the comment period that's coming to a close tomorrow, how will the comments that you get inform this project?
Yeah, so we'll be looking at those comments and considering all of them. We've really seen we're getting a lot of comments, which is fantastic. We've got about over 3,200 comments so far, and it, we've had that comment form up since middle of March. And of those, you know, we're seeing broad support, 75% in favor, another 10% leaning in favor. We'll be looking at all of those comments. There's a lot of good comments. We've also received comments in the form of letters of support from the business community, from the communities themselves, from stakeholders all across the state. So we're hearing from a lot of people, which is good, and it's going to make the implementation of the project better.
Well, it sounds like you're getting a lot of support through these comments and what you're hearing from the business community, from residents. What does that momentum do for this project?
I think it really it does help move things along. It helps with communication. It also helps with securing the funds, and it helps when, you know, as we move forward looking at the operational details of how this service will operate as well.
We're talking with Arun Rao, who is passenger rail manager at the state DOT. Do you work for Amtrak? Would you like to see more investment in passenger rail? What questions do you have about the second trip from Chicago to the Twin Cities? And hey, Milwaukee, do you take trips into Chicago on the Hiawatha? What is that like? What are your tips? Still time to talk. Rail, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Arun Rao here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about the prospect of adding more service in coming years on the Twin Cities Milwaukee Chicago rail corridor. The public comment period, as we've been talking about on the TCMC project, closes tomorrow. The service would follow Amtrak's existing Empire Builder train route. This is 400-mile rail corridor with station stops including Columbus, Portage, Wisconsin Dells, Toma, La Crosse in there. Arun Rao is passenger rail manager at the Wisconsin DOT. He stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Thomas now in Waukesha. Hi, Thomas.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering whether or not there's been any consideration of adding stops. A good concern would be Watertown. It's a growing community. There's a lot of stuff going on there, and it's been neglected over the years, and during the Milwaukee Road days was an important stop.
Thomas, thank you. Arun, what about adding additional stops?
Sure, yeah. So the currently the proposed Twin Cities Milwaukee Chicago service would stop at all of the existing both Hiawatha service and Empire Builder stops. And we're right now, you know, that, I mean, compared to the Empire Builder doesn't serve all of the Milwaukee, Chicago, Hiawatha stops. This would stop at the Milwaukee Airport. So it's really a matter of travel time as well for Amtrak, and the desire to keep travel time down, to keep it shorter than what the current Empire Builder takes. And adding a station would add that travel time. So currently no plans to add any additional stations at this time, but this is more focused on adding that frequency for those existing stops.
Well, Thomas brings up Watertown, but when will rail service loop in your Madison, your Eau Claire, your Green Bay, cities not served by passenger rail in any convenient way, shape, or form?
Sure. So we're focused right now on the existing improvements to these existing services and adding frequencies to make them more valuable and meaningful to Wisconsin. We have the effort to increase frequencies on the Milwaukee-Chicago-Hiawatha service that we're working on. And then we have this federal funding, and we really want to deliver on increasing the frequency here on the Twin Cities to Milwaukee to Chicago corridor. I do understand that there's a lot of questions about that. But right now we are focusing on adding these frequencies.
Yeah, how is the Hiawatha line doing, which runs from Milwaukee to Chicago? How is ridership there?
Well, in 2019, before the pandemic hit, and in the years prior to that, we've just been seeing off-the-charts ridership growth, reaching record high in 2019 of over 880,000 riders that year. And I know people that ride that service regularly can attest those peak trains can get pretty busy. So there has been long been an effort to increase frequencies on that service. So currently it's 7 round trips, and we are working on trying to get that increased to 10 round trips daily.
Well, let's go to Tom now, joining us in Madison. Hi, Tom. What would you like to add?
Good morning. I guess a lot of what I would like to talk about has been discussed in the last response to the last caller, but I think it is important to integrate transport modes. And in the case of Madison, we still need a light rail system here, and we still need a station at the airport that could presumably be served by this line. I just have to state here that as upset as I am as a state employee with Governor Walker and the passage of Act 10, his truest and largest mistake and undermining of the Wisconsin economy was his rejection of the high-speed rail project. The need still exists. We don't have as much federal money. We won't have, you know, the same caliber of transport. And that guy just ruined
Tom,
everything.
Okay, and Tom, let's look, Arun, at high-speed rail. And, you know, this is still something, as Tom says, just very much on the minds of Wisconsinites.
Yes, yeah. And I do, you know, I do understand that. But again, right now we're able to deliver on these significant, meaningful improvements on the existing corridors that have been needed for a long time. And so that's the current focus. But I did want to touch on one point that Tom talked about, was integrating transportation modes. And that's really a big part of what this is about, too. It's not just about the rail, Twin Cities Milwaukee Chicago project, not just about the rail line itself, but about connections to better connections to other scheduled services like intercity bus. And with this additional schedule option, we can better connect to intercity bus across the state. This also includes dedicated shuttle bus service from that we want to look at from the Eau Claire area, west central Wisconsin, to Tomah for trips to and from Chicago. Similarly, you'll see on the map there that we want to look at Madison area, Dane County to Columbus connections to see if that would work. So we're really able to get this moving, hopefully, to improve the entire intercity system.
Building off the infrastructure that you have as a base. Arun Rao is with us, passenger rail manager at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Anne is joining us from St. Louis. Hi, Anne. Go ahead.
Hi. I think it's a great idea. We are getting older, and personally, driving on bad roads in the middle of winter to go skiing is second thought now, where it never used to be. And if there was something like into Minnesota, that would be great. Get off the train, rent a car, and we're off. And there are other places that we've used the train in the same way, and it works out really
well. Oh, I think we just lost Anne. You know, Anne, though, very much in favor of being able to just take the train and get off when she needs to. Arun, are you hearing comments like that?
Absolutely, yeah. We're hearing a lot of those comments. A lot of people who both choose not to drive or cannot drive and who are looking for options and options that work better for them. And, you know, the additional frequencies is the biggest driver of ridership and the usability of the service. So I think this will help with a lot of those issues.
I used to ride the Texas Eagle quite a bit to Dallas and so forth, up to Chicago. But there's such a big issue with yielding to freight and getting delayed so often. Is this a problem on the Empire Builder corridor?
Yeah, so the Empire Builder's on-time performance is pretty good going westbound from Chicago. It's originating in Chicago, goes over the Metra track in Illinois, and then Canadian Pacific Railway in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and they do a fantastic job in dispatching passenger trains. But when the Empire Builder is coming from Seattle and Portland, it has to traverse multiple freight railroads as it goes across the country, and so the eastbound Empire Builder heading to Chicago can experience significant delays, and that's one thing, and that, you know, that hinders regional trips and hinders people trying to make business trips, and it hinders connections to other modes. And so this Twin Cities Milwaukee Chicago service will originate in St. Paul, will not have to traverse over so many railroads, will be on Canadian Pacific rail for most of the journey. And so the on-time performance of this eastbound train is expected to be a lot better than the current eastbound Empire Builder train.
Arun, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Arun Rao is passenger rail manager at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. We have a link to the TCMC project. You can comment there, WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, it's a conversation about classical music with WPR's Lori Skelton. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us for The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.